guys, welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have a dear friend on the WTA tour joining me, Christina McHale. She was ranked as high as 24 in the world, and that was in April 2010. And a really fun fact about her is that she lived in Hong Kong from age 3 to 8. That is just, like, that is such a cool fact. For 5 years of the beginning of your life to live in Hong Kong. Not a lot of people can say that. I'm sure she has a lot of awesome experience from that. An amazing thing about Christina is that she is, like, I can tell you, she's one of the sweetest girls on tour. Then when you get on the court with her, she's super intense. She's tiger-like with her really aggressive ground strokes, and she just has a really good fighting mentality, and her demeanor is so great out there. She's honestly a role model, and as much as I compete against her on the court, I also look up to her, and she's just a really good role model, and I'm just really excited for her to join us here, and you'll hear how humble she is, yet, you know, just a great competitor. So without further ado, Christina McHale. I have the worst allergies. Oh my gosh. I have like 30 different tissues and I'm like, oh, I'm really suffering. I don't know what's going on. Like, the weather is obviously... Wait, where are you, in Atlanta now?
I'm in Atlanta, and actually, like, yeah, I normally don't suffer from allergies, but the pollen here has been so bad.
Oh my god.
And the funny part is that as soon as you sneeze or as soon as you anything, you're like, oh my god, I hope I don't have coronavirus.
Well, the good thing is that sneezing is not really a thing for corona. It's not like a symptom. It's like, for what, you know how people, when they sneeze, you're usually like, oh, stay away, but now it's like all about the cough. It's like, okay. Oh my gosh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I can't imagine you being back in New York right now, and like, yeah, my parents are back in Jersey, just like being like with everything that's, it's crazy back there. Yeah.
So are you just staying with your sister indefinitely till things kind of calm down?
So I was supposed to only be here for a week, and then I've just sort of like kept extending it, and thankfully they aren't sick of me yet, and like we're doing a lot of home workouts together and stuff, so yeah, and it's been fun. But yeah, just like seeing the news and just talking to my parents back home, and I'm worried about my grandma, and thankfully she's staying in her house the whole time, so but yeah, just trying to make the best of it. Yeah.
I mean, who can get sick of you? You're so sweet and like helpful.
I mean, we have been together now for a month, so I'm surprised there's been no arguments between my sister and I yet.
Wow, not yet? That's pretty good. Anyway, how was your Easter? I should ask that. And I know it was weird because you were in quarantine, obviously, like everyone else. But how did you guys make the most of it?
Yeah, so we had a pretty good Easter here. My sister has been trying to teach me how to cook a little bit. So have been doing a lot of that, trying to, like, yeah, make it feel like we're with family. So FaceTiming family a lot, making it feel like we were all together yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you end up cooking anything?
Well, we ended up ordering a ham because that was too much for us. But we've been trying not the best. We've been, like, making a lot of desserts and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, basic things that I should have already, like, known how to make, I didn't. So this has probably been a good experience for me. Mm-hmm. To learn a lot more about that. Yeah,
I'm definitely learning a lot more about cooking. I feel like there's two types of people during this time. It's like the people that are exercising nonstop and like taking care of their bodies all of a sudden, and then there's people that are just eating. But then there's people like me that are just eating and working out, and I'm like, I don't know.
We're definitely doing both over here. Working out to make sure we can eat all the stuff that we're making.
Working out to eat. That's the goal these days.
That's not a problem. That's how we're getting through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Small goals, the little things, that's what's getting us through.
Exactly, yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, I know, how's your school going? I know, are you still a freshman?
I'll be a freshman for a long time. You could probably ask me in 2 years, I'll still be a freshman. But no, it's actually been a good time for me to catch up on some schoolwork. I just started taking some online classes.
Oh, good.
It was something, that I wanted to do for a while, so now I have time. And then for the upcoming semester, since tournaments at least won't be back until July 13th, that week, I've added a couple more classes. So yeah, this gives me time to, get some studying.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. And it's like you get to focus on a little bit more and maybe try to get ahead. That way when you resume, it'll be a little bit easier.
Yeah, exactly. Because when you are playing tournaments, it's hard to manage your schedule. Like, you don't know what time you're going to play. You don't know what time you're practicing. So it's hard to find the time to get the school work in. But now I can make my whole schedule from when I wake up to when I go to sleep. So, I'm getting a lot in. And, yeah, like I said, I've added a couple of classes. So,
oh, yeah, what are you taking?
It's been so long for me since I've been in school that, what am I doing? But no, it's good for me. I took an intro to communications class.
Oh, good.
This past semester. Obviously, I had to start with freshman seminar as well. And I'm going to be taking a psychology course in the next semester, so I think that'll be interesting.
Very cool. Do you get to, like, major in something?
Eventually, I will pick a major when I get that far, but now I'm just trying to take all the core classes. I mean, I think communications is something that would be interesting to me. Help me with whatever I do after tennis. So maybe a little bit of what you're doing, Julia.
Exactly. You'll be interviewing me.
But I'm just really early on, so hopefully I stay with it,
Rumor has it that you were 8th grade valedictorian. I want to hear about this because I did not know you were the classroom whiz.
Back in the day, I was pretty smart.
Wow, I did not know this. You're so humble.
that was a long time ago.
So, like, was that, like, because you had, like, the best GPA? Or tell me, like, because that's, like, amazing.
That was, in 8th grade, right before I was still in regular school, and then I started online homeschooling in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed school, so that's why it's kind of been nice to be able to do a little bit of that now that I have more time.
Yeah, I gotta ask you, do you feel like your life on the road has been, you know, more balanced, like when you were competing, having the academics with the tennis, because it kind of takes your mind off of things when you're done at the end of the day competing?
I think so. Even just from taking a couple classes the past couple of months, I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I would have started sooner, because there is so much time on the road that playing tournaments that I'm probably watching too much Netflix and I could have been doing something else. And like, you feel accomplished. I get an assignment done and I hit submit and it's like, okay, maybe I didn't play well in my match today, or maybe I didn't have, but at least I did something that I feel good about. And it's a different feeling, like I said, I'm still early on, so hopefully I continue with it, but it's, allowing me to think about other things too.
Right. Those are two great feelings, getting a high score in an exam or on a paper and then winning a tennis match. Those are, it's amazing how they both bring you so much happiness, but in two different ways. For me, like, I felt like I played some of my best tennis in college because I was able to take my mind off of the tennis court when I was in the classroom. And then when I was in the classroom, kind of take my mind off the tennis court. So it really worked hand in hand. And I don't know. For me, I can't, like, over-obsess in one thing. It's just a disaster.
No, I agree. Balance is everything.
Yeah.
Even during this time off, that obviously we all would want to be back competing and playing, but it's so rare that we have time like this off. So I'm trying to, make the most of it and do other things too.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the financial end. I know this is a little personal, but I'm in it too, I guess, now that I was healthy and ready to maybe compete a little bit again. I know there were some rumors or some people going around saying that maybe tournaments or the WTA would fund some of the tennis players a little bit, or the tournaments. Have you heard of anything since then? Or
I'm not sure exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but I just know that in general it's tough for everyone right now. I mean, everyone is going through a tough time, so I think we just have to try and get through this as best as we can and realize that it's all businesses. Everyone is really just trying to get through unprecedented time.
Yeah. It's not just tennis players, actually. Yeah, it's like the whole world or a lot. Yeah. Everyone except for essential businesses, I guess, quote unquote. Yeah, so I mean, it's just an uncharted territory that no one has ever...
Yeah, we've never gone through this normally. And, you know, you play tennis, each week you have an opportunity to compete and make money. But yeah, obviously, I understand, like, it's a tough time for everyone, yeah.
So, like, being on the road is obviously super expensive. Do you have ways that you try to, like, cut down costs? What are some of the tennis player hacks that people can learn?
Well, my mom has gotten pretty good at monitoring flights and trying to even figuring out which days I think flights are cheapest to book a flight on. So just little hacks like that have come in handy over the years. Yeah.
I know they have, like, housing for tennis players. It's a kind of a tricky thing. I would be lying if I said I loved housing. I do enjoy my space at... Yeah. You know, being in a hotel, especially after a long day of practice or a match, like, I want to go back to room and either talk to you or, like, a friend, but not in a mood to kind of, like, restate my whole life story to, like, a housing family. As sweet as it is that they let us into their homes and also I'm, like, allergic to cats and dogs, so it's, like, a tricky thing.
Yeah.
But are you a type of person that likes housing or do you prefer hotels?
Yeah, I think I'm similar to you in that I like kind of having my own space when I come, like, after a long day of either playing a match or practicing. It's nice for me, though, when the perfect situation is when my sister and her husband there are at the tournaments because Ryan plays as well, and then we can hang out and go to dinner, and then I come back and have my own space. But, I mean, obviously, housing, is... so nice of the people that do that, and it's very much appreciated because, like you said, a lot of players that are starting off or trying to make end meet at the beginning, the only way they can do that is by people allowing them to stay at their homes, and it's nice that they do that.
Right, there's pros and cons, absolutely, and I do like to stay in housing, but it just, you know, there's some stuff that comes
like you're exhausted at the end of the day.
Yeah.
One room that's nice.
So you mentioned that Ryan is Lauren, your sister's husband. Can you just talk a little bit about your relationship with Ryan? And that's so cool that, you know, you guys are family now and two of the best Americans.
We're literally one big tennis family because so my sister played in college, Christian, their younger sister Madison played in college, so literally a huge tennis family. But yeah, it's so nice having Ryan and Christian that both play professionally on the tour because we all, you know, can relate to each other, and Ryan often has even been my on-court coach a couple times when I'm at a tournament and my coach is not there. Even just now here, being in Atlanta with my sister and him, you know, we've all done some workouts together and we're trying to keep each other motivated. It works out really well having family that play too.
You played doubles with him, was it at the U.S. Open?
I've played mixed doubles with both Christian and Ryan at the U.S. Open, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Are they different, like, as doubles partners, or do you prefer one, or do you gel better with one on the doubles court?
They're both super fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Christian and I did make semifinals, though, at the U.S. Open, so...
Oh, man!
We have that, but no, I mean, Ryan is a Grand Slam champion in doubles, so it was, really cool to play with him, too.
Yeah, that is pretty sick.
Yeah, I just had to plug that in there.
Yeah.
Christian and I made semis.
You totally should. I mean, that is an accomplishment. Wow.
Thanks.
What's something you would say that maybe the average tennis fan wouldn't know about the life of a pro tennis player? Like, just something that is behind the scenes that you just feel like really is important, but just, like, an average fan wouldn't know.
I know there is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. I guess in all sports it would be like this, that maybe the average fan doesn't realize. And yeah, like we're all just trying to do the best we can, and we have good days and bad days, and we appreciate the support on both of the days when we're, you know, playing well and not having a good day. So yeah, we just, yeah, thank everyone for coming out and watching too. Like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do if no one came to watch. So
yeah, and I feel like there are some harsh fans. Obviously, yeah, we've all dealt with some of the hate mail that goes on.
Right.
That's just next level stuff. But
yes,
I'll never forget, I was playing a match in Dothan, Alabama. It was a doubles match, and I lost in a super tiebreaker. And I come off the court, I was, like, obviously pretty frustrated, and this man from Dothan, like, he thinks, these fans, I think they're helping by, like, trying to give advice or something. He comes to me right off, like, right after I finished the match and says, "You didn't look like your next meal depended on this match."
Oh my gosh.
And, like, and he's like, "Your opponents looked like they needed to win to eat." I'm like, I don't know how to take this, like, no offense, but I probably wouldn't be playing tennis if I was, are you okay?
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, I think the pollen's getting to me.
Yeah, the pollen. Yeah, I wouldn't be playing tennis if my next meal depended on it. Like, I would try to find something more stable. Tennis is not the most stable. Like, I don't know, right. I was really, like, yeah, offended by that comment.
Yeah, no, I totally get why you were, and mm-hmm, I probably feel the same way. I think people, like you said, they think they're helping you, and they don't realize maybe how it came across, and mm-hmm, so yeah, that's something that I think, yeah, if people understood more. But I think people's intentions are good, they just maybe don't realize how it came across.
Yeah, they think they're helping, but they're really,
they think they're helping, yeah.
I just, like, did a head, like, tilt or not, and I'm like, just kept walking.
Yeah, it's like tough. Yeah, you might want to say something.
Yeah.
When you, like, think twice about it, probably not the best thing, yeah, to do, but in the heat of the moment when you just got off.
Exactly. I was already frustrated, and then this guy thinks he can tell me.
And that's the first thing someone says to you, so yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, I had a coach there, like, I don't need your little,
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want people that are listening to this to know, like, you are definitely my best friend, like, on this tennis tour, and I think you honestly have a pure heart of gold, and I'm just,
oh, thank you, Julia.
What's so beautiful about you is that, like, you're such a fierce competitor on the tennis court, and then off the tennis court, I feel like you do a really good job of leaving everything behind. Like, I'm not the only one that feels that you're, like, such a sweet person off the court. You're sweet on the court as well. Like, you're very respectful. You have really good sportsmanship. Yeah. Like, I sit on the couch and watch you on the tennis channel all the time.
Oh, thank you, Julie. But I feel like it's something that, yeah, like, you just get better with as I'm, like, I'm about to be 28, so I'm getting, mm-hmm, towards the later years of my career, which is crazy. It's gone by really quick. But you sort of realize as you get older, you're like, yes, you know, you want to be able to have friendships out of this too, and I don't think you, like, I think you can give your absolute all on the court, and, like, the two people are absolutely trying to beat each other and win, but then I think you can be able to come off the court and be able to separate that and then treat each other respectfully too.
So I always thought that was the way I wanted to be, but then I saw the whole Naomi Osaka, Coco Gauff, how, like, nice she was after the U.S. Open match, and I felt like that was the reason why Coco Gauff beat Osaka the next time, because maybe she felt a little more relaxed around her the next time around. So I'm like, I want to make friends off the court. Like, this is a very lonely journey, but it's like, does it take away from your winning? Do you know what I'm saying? It's a very fine,
yeah,
line.
I get that, because, yeah, there's always, you know, that back and forth. But honestly, I feel that, yeah, I mean, you don't have to be best friends with someone off the court, but I think you can be able to get along well enough, say hey to each other, have a little chat, and then be able to go out on court
and kick
later
ass
that day or the next day. Like,
yeah.
It's no hard feeling. You know that,
yeah,
like, you know, both players gonna be saying come on and, like, getting intense, and then, you know, you just know that's part of the battle, and then, you know, you come off court and you're you're all right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to look
at
it.
It takes time to get there, yeah.
Yeah, it's
I'm still working on that, too. Like, it's a work in progress.
Yeah. It's a difficult balance to have, and we have some, like, really intense girls on tour, and then ones that are very sweet like you, but you're also very fierce and competitive on the court. So I feel like you have a really good balance. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Thanks, Julia.
And then, like, one last thing I wanted to ask you is, you're from the Northeast, just like me. Did you start training in New York in the earlier parts of your career, or did you roam around to the warmer states?
I was actually in Hong Kong when I first ever started playing tennis. I was living there because of my dad's job. Our family got transferred there for a couple years, so that's where my sister and I first started playing. But then we came back to New Jersey, and then that's where I practiced for the majority of my junior career. I mean, I would go to camps at USTA camps in Florida, but the majority of my training was done at home. And like yeah. I said, I didn't start homeschooling until 10th grade, so I went to regular school in New Jersey up until then, which I'm grateful for today. Yeah.
Was there ever a part of you or maybe your parents that thought that you wouldn't be able to make it if you trained in New York? I feel like that's a common mindset up here. Or, sorry, in New Jersey. I always forget you're from Jersey, not New York.
Well, yeah, I practice in New York, too. Okay. Well, I mean, I was lucky to have really good coaches that were in the area. And our Eastern section when I was playing was really tough, and I'm sure it is now, too. But at the time, there was some really good – I mean, Christiane was another girl that was in the section at the same time. And there was really good people to practice with, and I mean, I did go down to Florida obviously sometimes for camps or to train and play other tournaments and stuff, but no, I was lucky that I could stay home and get good training in.
What about like court time? Did you feel like it was limited since like in the winter it's indoors?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, sometimes that was sometimes a problem, but I mean, when I was in like 7th and 8th grade, my sister and I would practice before we went to school from like 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning just so we could get an extra hour in. And then when 9th grade, I would go in the middle of school during lunch, go practice, and then come back to school. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we had to just find ways to make it work.
Yeah, I actually feel like, because I was really frustrated because all through my childhood my parents told me like, you're never gonna make it to like your highest level if you don't move to Florida. And I'm so attached to home, like being in New York, that I didn't want to be part of an academy. I really didn't. And so that was frustrating. So I feel like that motivated me to make like the most out of my hour court time that I got. Like, it was so expensive, and Long Island tennis is definitely expensive. And then of course at USTA, you don't have to pay for it, and that's really helpful. But I feel like that really motivated me because I didn't want to move. And I was like, all right, I have an hour. I'm not going to drink any water. I'm going to get it after this hour. I proved them wrong.
Yeah. No, it's whatever you got to use to get better. But I don't know what I was going to say.
So yeah, that was awesome. What's the status with World Team Tennis right now?
As of now, it's still going on.
Wow.
So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. When is it supposed to start?
Actually, that week of July 13th. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's on the cusp of, right now, tournaments are scheduled to go back that week. So hopefully, I've been looking forward to that, yeah.
I feel like that would be a good start back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like
it? It would be. I guess it just all depends on travel restrictions.
Yeah.
Where things are at, but yeah, it's still like 3 months away, so fingers crossed.
And honestly, like, this year you're like playing at another level. Knock on wood. I wanted to continue, but I was watching you down under. Like, this is like the highest level I've seen you play. I'm really excited. So I was really bummed out when this whole thing happened, but I feel like you could pick it right back up. I'm not worried about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we're all players are going to come back feeling refreshed and eager to be back out there and try and make the most of it. So, yeah, fingers crossed it's soon.
Yeah, and I'm glad, like, I'm healthy, and hopefully I could help you train.
Exactly,
and...
yeah, get you back out there, too, Julie. This gives you some extra to get your elbow feeling good.
Yeah, my elbow does feel good. I need to continue getting back into good shape, and, yeah, it's a really crummy day. I need to pick up my workouts again, though, like, go really hard. It's hard. Working out right now is hard. You have to have motivation. Yeah. I don't have any equipment. Do you have dumbbells and stuff?
We don't have dumbbells, but, yeah, we're just doing a lot of body weight stuff. I have a jump rope.
Oh, good.
We do have a Peloton that my sister has, so that's helpful, too. Yeah.
Awesome.
But we have 3 months, so we'll be ready when we get back.
We do? Oh, my gosh, you're right. July's... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope, like, we have enough time to train before July 13th. I feel like we will.
Yeah, I mean... Everything is obviously still on pause. We don't know if it's going to happen then, but well, by then the weather will be, I mean, yeah, we've got to follow to the regulations if they say to keep staying at home, but yeah, thanks, Julia.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and keep getting after those workouts, girl.
Yeah, it's because of all the food I've been eating.
All right. I'll speak to you soon, okay?
Yeah,
all right.
Cool.
Take care. It's always so great to catch up with Christina. Sounds like she's doing well in quarantine with her brother-in-law, Ryan, and her sister. My favorite part was discussing the balance of the academics with the tennis. I think that is so underrated. People think that if you are a professional tennis player, you have to put 100% of your time and energy in one thing. Little do they know that just leads to, you know, mental health stuff, like just obsession, anxiety, depression. It's so important to have a well-rounded life at the same time. For me, I played my best tennis, as I mentioned, when I was in college, when I could divide my time between the tennis and the academics. So I think it's super important, whether you're playing tennis and blogging or taking a class while you're playing tennis, or just anything, just something that can take your mind off, like a separate hobby, even reading, writing, cooking. Like, it's so important for your mental health and your well-being.